You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
Brian Koberger, the pretrial hearings, they continue on, and that's where most things end up getting litigated. Before the actual trial itself, trying to figure out what can be admitted, what cannot be, what do we need, what do we not have, what needs to be shared. Joining me to discuss, Eric Fadis, defense attorney and former prosecutor. Ann Taylor has been making some points, and she's been saying for a while, we don't have this, we don't have that. And the prosecution's been saying, yes, you do, take a look at this. However, recently in court, she's been laying out some very specific things that she doesn't have yet. How common is this where you're the defense attorney, you need this stuff, where the prosecution's like, we'll get it to you, or we already did, maybe you haven't found it yet? I mean, is this just kind of part of the course here?
It's extraordinarily common. And unfortunately, in my experience, especially in Colorado where I practice, but I'm sure abroad, there is an issue with the prosecution withholding evidence. Now, both sides need to have a level playing field. The defense needs to know what evidence is against them so they could investigate and potentially challenge it. And if they don't have notice of that evidence, it's kind of a trial by ambush. And that's what Ann Taylor is seeking to avoid.
I think everybody wants to avoid it. I mean, because even if you're like dead set that Koberger did this, which I think a lot of us are, you still want to make sure you don't have appellate issues, that something bad doesn't happen along the way. Everyone needs to play by the same rules. Let's take a look at some of Ann Taylor questioning some of the location data on the phone that is missing.
You've just told us that you think we have most of it, but there's some significant parts that are missing.
Yeah, and I want to qualify that just so it's really clear, because I understand it's starting to get very technical. There's over 500,000 lines of data that was turned over. So I'll make it clear, there's a lot of data that has been produced. I would say, in my opinion, looking at what's been produced, probably 2 or 3% is missing. But it's not the amount of data or the time of the data. It's the locations of the data. Some of the most significant locations in this case, we're missing some data.
Those significant locations, have they been depicted or captured on the CAST draft report?
They have.
And tell me what those locations are. What are we missing?
I am unable to find any measurements along, I believe it's 270, the Moscow-Pullman Road. If you drove the most direct route from Pullman to Moscow or vice versa, pretty much as soon as you're leaving Pullman to the time that you arrive in Moscow, we are missing that entire stretch. And if there's ever been a case that we need to look at, what does it look like when a phone travels from Pullman to Moscow? This is probably the case. We have the neighborhood around the crime scene, but we don't have the crime scene. Normally, that wouldn't be too terribly significant, because if it's a flat area, there's not a lot of vegetation or mountains. You could probably interpret the same. The location of this crime scene is very unique because it sits on a mountain. Part of it is shielded by a mountain. There's a lot of other big, thick, dense apartment buildings there. Your phone is going to behave differently inside of that residence than it might on the road behind the residence or in front of the residence. I can't find any drive test data that actually encapsulates any part of the property.
So data is missing, but it doesn't necessarily appear that it's missing because somebody just didn't submit it or didn't give it to somebody. It looks more like, because sometimes we have phones and we go into dead zones. Could that be what we're looking at here? And how important is that? Is the dead zone going to be a key factor here in the defense of Koberger?
Yeah, I mean, what you're touching on is, what is the explanation for why we don't have the data? And you know, in this case, they got to put Koberger at that crime scene. That's extraordinarily important. They said they were able to do that by triangulating cell phone data. But the defense is saying, hey, that's incomplete. And not only does it give the defense an argument to make to the jury that, hey, we don't have an ironclad location for this dude, but it also potentially allows them to try to move to exclude locational data, cell phone data, on the basis that it is incomplete. And if it's excluded, that would be a huge blow to the prosecution.
It would. I mean, that is a very key part of showing where he was that night. And it seems to be kind of a technicality, though, if there's this little bit that's missing, but everything else shows you're right there. But everything else kind of shows this little dot here is gone because you didn't have service. come on. But I get it. You know, if you're defending Brian Koberger, that's, you know, those are the things that you certainly want. That's a boon to you to try and prove your case.
Yeah, I mean, the defense has to unturn every stone in trying to find avenues to argue in this case. And yeah, I mean, the government probably, it sounds like there might be an innocent explanation for why that data is missing, that there was a dead zone. And that would be pretty understandable for a jury, especially in modern times when all of them probably have cell phones.
Yeah, there's video clips as well. We have testimony. We're not going to listen to it. But Ann Taylor asking for specific video evidence from various security cameras and such that she doesn't have yet. And then the investigator said, okay, yeah, we'll get that to you. Now that she has specifically asked for these specific clips that she wants to take a look at. I'm just wondering why, again, some of this stuff hasn't already been turned over in discovery to the defense. And I know we're talking about a small community here, a community that doesn't see cases like this on any sort of regular basis. And we were all kind of calling it Keystone Cops at the beginning. Turns out they really had their stuff together as far as identifying where his vehicle was. And they really were a lot more in tune with this case than I think a lot of us thought initially. But now we're kind of getting into the weeds of it. The investigation's going on. Are there some things here where it's just lack of experience where that, you know, things aren't getting where they're supposed to go right away? And it's nothing more than that. Than just lack of, you know, experience in doing something like this in this community.
You know, one thing is that defense shouldn't have to ask for this information. When I was a prosecutor, you know, I give you everything.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, hey, I'm going to beat you on the merits here. I'm not going to, you know, pick and choose. And I'm not going to subject myself to some argument that I'm withholding or hiding something. And that's what the prosecution does when they don't turn everything over, which it sounds like they didn't hear.
Why? Why aren't they just doing it? I mean, that's the question. I'm not saying conspiracy. It's just, let's not create issues where we don't need to have issues.
I'll tell you, Tom, when I was a prosecutor, I would say that all the time. Give them the whole file. Give them everything. Yeah. I don't care. And my superiors would say, oh, you know, it costs the law enforcement money. And this piece of evidence really doesn't matter that much. So we're not going to turn it over. I'd say, what are you doing?
We're going for justice here at the end of the day. If it's him, great. If it's not, great, but we need a fair playing field to make sure that we get to where we're supposed to be going.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.